again through Colossians chapter 1. This session covers verses 15 through 20, and it's entitled Image of the Invisible. Image of the Invisible. So let's read that section, starting with 15 in Colossians 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. In this section, Paul continues to argue the unique, supreme, eternal existence of Jesus Christ. He is not one of many created manifestations of God. He is God, preeminent over all things, the creator of all things, over and before all things. He is not created by God. He is begotten of God. He is of the very substance of God in a form which man can see, touch, love, and serve. He is the visible image of the invisible God. God the Father is spirit. He can be seen or perceived when he chooses to so present himself. And so Moses encounters a burning bush, which is not consumed and out of which God speaks. God appears as an exploding volcano on Mount Sinai, or he reveals himself as a still, small voice. All these are techniques used by a supreme God to reach out, to communicate with and love sinful man. No longer can he walk in the garden in the cool of the evening and talk face to face with Adam, because Adam and subsequently all mankind has sinned. But God desires to restore that intimate personal relationship by loving man even when men do not deserve it. How can it be done? By presenting himself, he is very nature in a form and image of himself, who can walk, talk, touch, love, and sacrifice in an astonishing effort to restore his relationship to man. In verse 20, we are told he goes to the extreme of being tortured to death on the cross, openly, naked before hundreds, to reconcile the division, the schism created by sin. In this way, God makes a way for his relationship to man to be restored, to make peace, if you will. Without this truth, you and I have no hope. Now let's return to the concept of image. This idea refutes the teachings of the Gnostics. Jesus Christ is not one of a number of emanations or manifestations of God. He is God, the one God in a form which man need not fear. Indeed, man can know him, walk with him, and love him. More importantly, God the Son can be known uniquely and intimately and within our limited human capacity understood. An image is a representation, an identical copy, a picture, a reflection as in a mirror, an imprint as a stamp or a seal. The meaning here is as an identical copy. Hebrews 1, verse 3 says, he is an exact imprint of God, begotten of God, himself. All else, everyone else is created. Christ is begotten. Scripture tells us that when God created everything, Christ was there and was the agent of creation. He is unique, divine, and should be worshiped as such. Verse 19 tells us that in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. What might this mean? What is all the fullness? This term fullness is the best way Paul could find to express Christ's identity as divine, the image, the exact copy or representation of God the Father. Fullness speaks of completeness. All God's divine power and attributes are present in Jesus Christ. Therefore, he is uniquely God the Son. He is firstborn, not in the sense of first created, but in the sense of number one, first in rank, the highest there is, equal with and identical to God the Father. Just as everything belongs to God the Father, so it also belongs to the Son. Verse 16 tells us that not only is Christ the agent of creation, he is the purpose for it. Verse 17 even claims that through him all things consist or hold together. In my early years, I earned a degree in chemistry from Purdue University. In my third year on those studies, we studied physical chemistry. This is the study of electrons, protons, bonding orbitals, energy charges, etc. One concept that kept coming up, the energy involved in the existence of atoms cannot be fully explained. Scientists postulate a mysterious nuclear force which holds all atoms together. This force could not be measured or fully understood. Without this force, all nature would simply fly apart. I see this in the truth of verse 17. Praise God that he holds it all together long enough that he can be known and worshiped. And so, Father, what a privilege it is to know you and to worship you, to bow before you, to obey you as best we can with your help and your direction, to walk by faith, to progress through life in such a way that your name is glorified. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all glorified in what I do. And when I fall short, I confess and I turn and I ask forgiveness and I pray for continued leading and blessing. And I pray that for each one of these listening today. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.